morning. Has God been good? If God has been good to you this week, give Him what He deserves. Let me ask you this. How many people have been here over the past 5 weeks and heard what God brought through Steve? Has that been phenomenal? Awesome. It's been awesome. During that 5 weeks, I've had such a blessing. I've had a week or two of work and a week of diving into some prayer time. And 2.5 weeks of that time, though, was just vacation. It was awesome. I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. It was beautiful. In the midst of it, one of the great privileges for me was to have some time to be praying for you and about you. And here's the truth is honestly, I love you as a family and as my brothers and sisters. And some of you I brought to mind during that time praying over. And during that time, I felt led to reread a book that had touched my life greatly when I read it the first time called The Principle of the Path. Powerful book that really spoke to me, and I really felt called by God to come and bring that truth to people here that we love. And here's the reason, is that we want to see lives transformed. We want to see people changed. And here's the reality, is very often we inspire people and we inspire you to a better life, to more who God wants you to be, and you leave all inspired and fired up, but then end up not actually knowing how to go from where I am to where it is that I really believe God's called me to be. Not able to actually put into practice something that brings about life transformation and life change. And so this series is about how to get from where you are to where you want to be, and you're going to be so blessed by it. Now, this first sermon is called The Worst of Good Intentions, and here's why. Is that a lot of times you think that all that matters is that I have good intentions. So I come to church, and I want to do good. I want to have a good marriage. I want to honor God with my life. And so that's enough. And it's not enough. The worst part about good intentions is good intentions don't get you where it is that you desire to be or God desires you to be. A great example of this, my wife and I were in North Carolina, and we were up in Boone, and we love to ride bikes together, so we were riding the Greenway Trail through Boone, North Carolina. It goes out through the park and out through the woods, and we just loved it. And since I had been there a day before her, I was leading, and I was taking all these turns and going these different places. And in my mind, my intention was to lead Julie to this beautiful place where there were flowers and fields, and it was just going to be so nice. And I had every expectation of getting there. And as I took the turns and went the way and took the path that I took, we ended up going right by the sewage treatment plant for Boone. And y'all, North Carolina people stink way worse than South Carolina people. It was gag me. It was nasty. And Julie was up there, you know, she's barely able to make it. And as we got there, here's the reality. It stunk, even though I desired and intended and expected to be somewhere else. How many people have found that in your life, that it might be in your marriage or in your dating life? You have these great expectations, and you have really good intentions, but you end up in a place that stinks. You have the desire educationally to do well and to go places, or in your business or in your career, or even in your spiritual life. You have great intentions. You have high expectations. But you end up in a place that you really didn't intend to go, and honestly, it stinks. And the reason is this, is that direction, not intention or expectation, determines our destination. Solomon wrote that there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. We have this thought that we're going the right place, we're doing the right thing, but we're on a path that ultimately leads us to destruction. In fact, Jesus said that many people will come to Him one day fully expecting to be in heaven. And yet He'll say to them, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." And so your intention, your expectation does not determine your destination. Instead, it is your direction. And what is that all about? It's about this. Every decision you make is a step down a path. We have a tendency to think of our decisions as being disconnected, as being unrelated decision, as isolated events. We kind of see them, draw a circle around them. It's just something that we've done, and we don't recognize the reality that just like for me and for Julie, as I was leading Julie, every decision I made was part of taking us down a path that led to that ultimate destination. And that's the way your decision making works. Every decision is a step down a path, and it has a destination. And those decisions can be whether you get out of bed or hit the snooze. It can be whether you turn on the morning news or you open up the Bible to read it. It can be whether you do your homework or go to the movie with your friends. Whether you buy the new car or you fix the old car. Whether you go straight home or you stop by the clubhouse. Whether you stop by the cubicle of the cute intern or whether you keep on walking to your office, whether you jump out and go to life group or whether you sit at home and watch TV, whether you actually come to church or you go to the river, it makes a difference. Whether you stop by your sponsor's house or by the boathouse, your decision is going to impact something in the future for you. Whether you open that email or you respond to that text, or you send that picture, whether you stay at home or you go with them, whether you fix your meal so you have something healthy, or you wait and just order fast food during the day, every decision you make leads somewhere. And whether it's going to the gym or going to the donut house, whether it's ending up in the library or ending up at the mall, your decisions, your choices on a daily basis, those decisions and those choices put you on a path, and that path has a destination. It has a physical destination for you. It has a spiritual destination for you. It has a destination in relationships for you. Just like Julie and I, every decision we made led us somewhere. In the same way, your decisions do that. Now listen to this. Every path has a predictable destination. It doesn't matter who does it. If they do what you do, you're going to end up in the same place. When Julie and I were on the path that led to the sewage treatment plant, it doesn't matter whoever it was. If they got on that path, it led them there. It wouldn't matter if they were a marathon runner wearing $200 tennis shoes or they were a chain smoker in flip-flops. They would still end up there, right? Doesn't matter how fit they are, how good they are. If it was a young billionaire riding a $7,000 carbon fiber mountain bike, or it was an old hobo riding a rusty Huffy and pedaling down the path, he's still going to get to the same place. And reality is it doesn't matter about your education level. It doesn't matter about your wealth or income level. It doesn't matter about your race. It doesn't matter about whether you go to church or not, whether you're raised in church or weren't. It doesn't matter about your gender. It doesn't. Because the reality is if you look into counseling offices in a high school or a recovery center, if you look into a repossession business or divorce court, if you look into a cardiac unit at a hospital or a weight loss clinic, you find out that people who show up there from every potential branch of experience of life, we all end up in the same place. Bad decisions are an equal opportunity destroyer. Whoever you are, you make those decisions and you head down that path is going to lead you to a predictable destination in the process. And listen to this, good intentions and high expectations don't change the destination. Please hear that. That's the big error in Christian people, is you think because I've got great intentions and I've got these high expectations that my destination therefore will change as a result of that. It won't. Your intentions don't change your destination. Nor does your expectation. And so, like when I was taking my wife down that path, I had full expectations and full intentions of taking her into a beautiful place where we'd smell honeysuckle and wildflowers, and it was going to be beautiful. But I still ended up taking her in front of the stinking sewage treatment plant, right? Now, if I had married my wife and I had every intention of bringing her into a place where we were financially secure and we had a retirement waiting on us and everything was right in our lives and we had financial peace, I could have that intention and even that expectation. But if I make decisions that result in me borrowing where I shouldn't borrow and taking credit where I shouldn't take credit and making decisions financially that take me down a different path, we can end up in a place that stinks financially. Even though my intentions may be very good and my expectations may be very high. And so you recognize this reality. You may be a girl who has a high expectation of marrying a great Christian guy and living happily ever after. But if your dating life takes you down paths into relationships with people who aren't living for God, you end up in a place you never expected to be. You may have expectations of attending the college of your choice and going on to a great career. But if you walk down a path that takes you to extracurricular activities instead of your studies, you end up in a place that you never intended to be. You may have expectations and intentions of raising your children to be little warriors for God and knowing His will and living for Him. But if you overwork and fail to spend the time with them, or you let the television be their babysitter, or if you care more about their soccer and their t-ball than you do about their spiritual development, then you end up with them being in a place you never intended to lead them and taken to a place that you never thought that they would end up. And you may have intentions of being a faithful spouse your whole life long, but if you take paths that lead you into time alone with and sharing your heart with somebody who's not your spouse, you can end up in a place you never thought you'd be. You can have every intention of being solid spiritually and walking with God and honoring Him in your decisions. But if you prioritize time with your friends over time with God, if you pursue your own heart's desires more than you pursue the desires of God, you end up in a place you never thought you'd be spiritually. So all these paths that take you where you never wanted to go. And so that I had an experience. We were up in North Carolina, and there was anybody ever been to a sliding rock? Up in the streams, you know, they had a slide. Well, there was a sliding rock near us. I was so excited. And so we went down there and took my grandson, and there was a little sign on the side of the road, sliding rock over here. So we went there. There were people everywhere. They were picnicking, and they were wading in the water, and it was great. And there was a line of people going up to the top of the slick rock, and the slick rock slid down into this cool pool, and I was all excited. And I wanted to protect my grandson, so I had to get the right line. I said, you know, we got to know the right path. So it was completely smooth, beautiful, slick rock. All except for right in the center, there was this big boulder thing that looked like a log splitter. It was facing you like this. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want to hit that, you know? And so I thought, I need to ask somebody, you know, what's the right path to get on here? And so being the brilliant guy I am, I asked a 7-year-old, you know? And this 7-year-old assured me that if I sat right here and pushed out, I would be on the right trajectory to get to the pool safely. And I pushed out. And y'all, as soon as I started out, I could feel myself moving toward the rock. It was almost like I was a magnet, you know, and I was just being pulled toward that rock. And I was speeding up. I was like going faster and faster. I felt like I was going 30 miles an hour. And I was sliding sideways straight toward the log splitter, you know. And as I'm sliding sideways to it, I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I thought about trying to spin myself around and maybe I could slide by it, but I thought, I don't want to like get on the log splitter, you know? I don't want to get on the log splitter. And so I just slid sideways, you know, and slid sideways toward it. I was barreling, y'all, when I hit that thing. I closed my eyes right before I hit it. I don't know what good I thought that would do to close my eyes, but I closed my eyes. I felt like I had been hit by a train. It was awful. And I thought everybody would know it, especially my wife who loves me, and she's sitting out at the bottom. But I think when I hit it, she thought, oh, cool, he hit that bump and went flying in the air. Wasn't that neat, you know? I could barely stand. And y'all, it has been now a month, and I've still got on my hip right here. I want to show you what's there. That's me. Now, here's the interesting thing. Is that some things take you to a place you never expected to be. And Solomon talked about it in life. He said, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? And he talks about one of the examples of those. Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it's red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Just one example. He says you make a choice and it's all cool and it's all nice and it feels all right and it doesn't feel bad at all, but it takes you on a trajectory, it takes you on a path toward pain. And you need to be careful when you're sitting in the cool water at the top of just waiting a minute. I just don't need to get on that path. I don't need to get on those slick rocks that are going to take me someplace I never intended to be. And so he's saying this, please listen, you got to pay careful attention to the decisions you are making. They may not seem like big decisions. It didn't seem like the biggest decision in the world, whether I sat here or sat here. But sitting here led me to a whole world of pain. And God's saying, you got to be careful about what you think are little decisions because they are paths that you are getting onto. And so another time, he was looking out through the lattice of his home and he saw a young man. He said, I saw among the simple, I noticed the young man, a youth who had no sense. We don't have any of those in our church, but have you ever known a youth who had no sense? Have you ever been a youth who had no sense? And so He was going down the street near her corner, walking along the direction of her house. She is an adulteress. She's a woman who's wanting to have sex with him and who's not married to him and all that kind of stuff. And so he, Solomon, sees him headed toward her house. And he feels exactly like I did after I got to the bottom and I started watching other people get on the rock headed toward the log splitter. And I was like, don't do that! You know? Don't do that. We've seen that. So Solomon had either seen other people or he himself maybe had been down the path here where this lady's house was. But he's saying, don't go there. There's pain there. And that kind of relationship is horrible. Well, she lures him in. She says, I've been looking for you. My husband's out of town. And I've got, and she says, and I've perfumed my bed and put colored linens on it. And let's come. And she says this. She says, come, let us drink deeply of love till morning. Let us enjoy ourselves with love. And she says this, my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. Now, I want you to notice this. Solomon's watching the kid. The kid's got a decision to make, but here's what the kid feels and knows and believes in his heart. There's not going to be an immediate consequence. The husband's gone. He's out of town. I got at least until the full moon. We've got weeks. And so we can do this and it's not going to be a problem. And here's a problem when you're young and you hadn't yet made the connection. You don't make the connection between the decision I make today, though it may not seem like such a big decision, and where that decision is going to take me. And so he's saying, don't do it because it's going to take you somewhere that you don't want to go. And so youth make those kind of decisions all the time because they lack the experience. But adults do as well, don't we? Because it ain't going to hurt now. So what? Hey, buy this and you won't have to pay anything till, you know, March of 2016. Yeah. You know, you make a decision because you think it isn't going to hurt now. And you don't think about what it's going to do and where it's going to take you and the path that that decision puts you on. And so he says all at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose until an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. He's saying, oh God, this kid, he's making a decision that's going to lead to so much pain. He isn't even aware of how tragic that one decision is and the path that he's going on. Examine your decisions. And so Solomon says then to his sons, now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your hearts turn toward her way or stray onto her paths. And then he says, her house is a highway to the grave leading down to the chambers of death. At one point in chapter 4, verse 14, Solomon wrote, don't set a foot on the path of the wicked. Don't be careful. Your step, one wrong step, can get you headed in a direction you never want to go. Pay careful attention to your decisions. Don't get on her path. Don't set a foot in that direction. Now, with that thought in mind, he had said in the previous verse, in verse 26, many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. He's saying lots of dudes have made the same stupid mistake. I want you to know this truth. Please hear this. As you start thinking about the path that you're on and the paths that you choose, please, the paths you're on, the paths you choose relationally, financially, the paths you choose all around you all the time, please get this reality. The paths to destruction are well-worn paths. There's this tendency that we have to think that if a lot of people have been doing it, it must be okay. And so Julie and I had gone to this waterfall. Anybody here love waterfalls besides me? Love waterfalls. And so we'd gone on this path to get to the waterfall. And when we got there, the mist from the waterfall was blowing up around us. It was just beautiful. There's a little sign over here that says, do not climb up the rocks, you know? And as that's going on, there are some teenagers there with us, and they're kind of playing in the water. And this little girl's kind of ignoring her daddy, doing what she wants to do. And you could see this path that went right up the side of that waterfall, up climbing up the rocks, and it was very well defined. You could tell that people had definitely done it before, and many people had done it. And so you could see that path going up the side, and I could see this little girl, and I could see it in her eyes. She's wanting to go up that path. And I came that close before Daddy stopped her, to saying, baby, I want you to know something. Where you're standing right now, yesterday, these rocks were covered with blood. Because the day before, actually it's 2 days before, a man had died climbing up that place and falling to his death. But the spray of the waterfall had washed away the blood and nobody would have known the destruction that came from that path. Here's the reality. When I went into the log splitter, everybody thought I just had a fun bumping ride. Only I could look back and see other people hit and go, I know your pain, man. I know your pain. Here's reality is, God's saying, well-worn paths. Well-worn paths. There's a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. You remember that? That it appears to be right and lots of people are doing it. In fact, when Julie and I went to that little roadside park, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of people. And so you would assume that it must be okay. It must be safe. In 15 minutes time, not only did I get my thing that lasted for a month, but in that same period of time, I watched this young man, probably 20 years old, walk out, and he hit a slick spot on his way out of the rocks and slammed his head against the rock to the point that it was horrible. And I watched him trying to walk and not being able to walk steady as he got up and tried to walk off from there. Then I saw a young lady coming down with her little brother who was in a little ring float, just as cute as you could be, just like he was at Myrtle Waves. And she's trying to pull him down, and she pulls him over too far, and he slides into a path that runs him up under some rocks on the side. When he pops out from underneath the rocks, his little sister screams, Mama, call the ambulance! Mama, call the ambulance! And Julie thought his hair was red. He was bloody from the top of his head all over his little body. And I'm going, God, this is horrible. And as the ambulance approached the place, you know what we learned? The ambulance is constantly being called to that place. And yet because throngs of people show up and everybody else is doing it, there's this thing that says in us, it must be okay. But I want to let you in on a little secret. The truth is, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Don't you realize the truth? If a lot of people are doing it, most marriages end in divorce. Most businesses fail. The majority of Americans are in horrible health. The majority of freshmen college students, the majority make stupid decisions in their freshman year that they will regret for years to come. Most Americans are in debt to the point of bringing distress and pain into their lives. Most people aren't doing the right thing. It's a well-worn path. But let me let you in on a beautiful truth, and that is that there are paths that will take you to where you always wanted to be. You always, Julie and I mean, I had enough of sliding rocks, you know what I'm saying? And enough of sewage treatment plants, and we're like, we gotta see something beautiful, you know? And so a friend of mine, Mike Owens, said, you gotta see a pretty place. And so we started tracking that down and asked around people. It's interesting. People who lived in the area say, I've heard of that place. Never been there. Don't know how to get there, but I heard of it. And so we asked Mike for some directions, and we got some stuff. And it was a pretty long trek to get up there. And you had to stay on the road. And we actually could drive all the way to it. We had some hiccups in the process. Some people turned us around, told us we couldn't go. But anyway, we ended up at this place called A Pretty Place. And when we got there, that's what we saw. Isn't that beautiful? And I was thinking, this is beautiful. Don't know if it was worth it, but it was beautiful. And then we started walking down the path into this thing called A Pretty Place that we thought was just this enclosed little chapel. But in reality, it was opened up. And there are no walls on the inside of that chapel. It just opens up into God's creation. And that is what we saw. And we just sat there in awe. And that does not do it justice. It was breathtaking. And we sat there, just people would just be silent. They couldn't speak. Just being in the presence of God, and we're like, you never. But here's the thing. That pretty place, you had to be on a path. You had to be intentional about getting there. You had to stay on that path for quite a distance to get to it. You had to learn some things, and we're going to talk about that later, about how to get there. But when you got there, man, you were saying, yeah, this is where we wanted to be. Now listen, before I leave this, let me say that this pretty place was a physically beautiful place, but how many people wish that I had a beautiful marriage. I wish I was in a beautiful place financially. I wish I was in a beautiful place spiritually. I wish I was with God in relationship the way I always wanted to be. You have all these dreams and these ideas about where you want to be and this beautiful life that you want. And the reality is that to get to that beautiful life means making some decisions, some sacrificial decisions to choose a path that sometimes says no to a lot of other things. And so Peter said to Jesus, he said, we've left everything to follow you, to get on the path that you've called us to. And Jesus said, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. So he said, look, I want you to know that if you choose to follow me and choose the paths that I have for you, they'll take you to beautiful places. Now listen, but I want you to be real careful about this. As you start thinking, God, I really do. I want to get on a path that takes me to where you always wanted me to be, to where I always wanted to be. Don't look for a quick solution. Look for a new direction. Don't look for a quick solution. Look for a new direction. This is a picture of that's Table Rock Summit up in the northern part of South Carolina. And the guys here, some of the men here, every year will go on a retreat, and they'll hike the Table Rock Summit. It's 3,000 feet up there, and you can see out all across the mountain range. It's just amazing. Well, if you want to get to that place and you want to see that and experience that, those guys had to get on a path and walk a long, long way. You have to take like 6 liters of water to be able to make your way up that if you're going during the summer. And he's saying, look, these guys, they got on a path and they stayed on that path to get to that beautiful place. If you were to go up Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, it's 19,000 feet high. And the people who get to that place get on a path and they stay on it for a very long time to get to that beautiful place. So listen, please, if you want a beautiful marriage, you have to get on a path and stay on that path a very long time. If you want to be in financial peace and where God has intended you to be, you have to get on a path financially and stay on that path a long, long time. If you want a deep, abiding love relationship with God that's life transforming, that's obedient, and that's life changing, you have to get on a path and stay on that path with Him for a long, long time. If you want the joy of experiencing everything He created for you, you need to get on the path that He has called you to and stay on those paths. And so listen, we think it's a problem to be solved. Jesus knows it's a direction to be changed. How many people honestly think of it as a problem to be solved? How many people have ever been in financial trouble and all of a sudden you got bills coming and you're going like, oh my goodness, I don't have the money and I've got stuff due and the creditors are calling me and I got blah, blah, blah. And so what do I need? A solution. What's the solution? Payday loan business is a solution, right? Or maybe I can take out an equity line on my home. That's a solution. Maybe I can consolidate all my bills. That's the solution. But the problem is that as I try to solve it, I end up with the worst problem because I'm not changing my path. And all I'm doing is compounding all the problems that I had. How many people come to me and they're in marriage trouble and they say, you know, basically they want a solution. I want you to tell my wife that I'm right and she's wrong. Let's get this over with and let this thing fixed, you know? But the reality is the reason you are where you are is because you've been on a path and you've been on a path for a long time and you got to change that path and stay on that path if you want healing in your marriage. Teenagers will come with, you know, all I want is my phone back. I just want to be off restriction. I want a chance to retake the test. I want to do something to fix the mess that I'm in. So it's like a problem to be solved. And Jesus is saying it's not a problem to be solved. It's a direction to be changed. Repentance is the idea of changing direction and saying, I've been going my own way. I've been going in a direction that's leading me where you didn't call me, but I'm changing. And for you, maybe you can, and I both, we can enter into this as we look at the life of this woman. Y'all remember there was a woman who was caught in adultery, John chapter 8. There was a woman who was caught in adultery and the religious leaders were bringing her to stone her to death. And y'all, here's where she was. Most people think that somebody who is in adultery, they're just an adulteress, they're an adulterer, and they're one of those people that just don't have any faithfulness in them. Here's reality. I've been dealing with this for 30 years of my life. Almost, very rarely, 2 times in 50, do I meet somebody who intended in the beginning to be unfaithful. What happens is they make choices that lead them onto a path, and that path takes them somewhere they never intended to be. And so this woman had been on a path that led her to be unfaithful, and now all of it was crashing down on her, and they're getting ready to stone her to death. And you might be there. You might be there financially. They might be caught. The creditors are calling you now. You might have already received the divorce papers. You might already be in trouble with the money that you embezzled or the taxes you didn't pay. You might be in a place where your children and you are already estranged. You might be in a place where your family's already trying to get an intervention to get you into drug treatment. statement. You might be in a place where academically it feels like you're too far gone and you'll never be able to catch up your grades. You might have already been put on academic probation or kicked out. You might be in a place spiritually where you feel like I've blown it so bad that I don't even think God could love me at this point. Wherever you are, God's saying to you, if you're where this woman was, you're in a place where you ended up you didn't expect. It wasn't your intention nor your expectation, but you find yourself there. Now, some of you aren't in that bad of a spot. You're just in a place where it's starting to stink. And all of a sudden you're realizing, man, this is not going where I thought it was going to go. This really stinks. This relationship, this business, my life, my career, my finances, whatever. I'm just in a place where it isn't going the way it's supposed to go. It might be your whole life, or it might be one area of your life. It might just be your physical health. Man, God, I'm in a place I never thought I'd be physically. And I feel like I can't get this thing turned around. But if you're in that place, just know this. This woman started out with great intentions and high expectations, but it's not intention or expectation that determines our destination. It's our direction. And so she was making choices. And that choice might have been just to talk about her life with a guy who would listen who wasn't her husband. Who knows what her choices may have been. But she made some choices. And those choices led her down a path that led her to where she never wanted to be. Because it is your direction, not your intention or your expectations, that determine your destination. So she ended up at a predictable destination. Anybody would end up there. It wasn't that God was against her. She just made decisions that any woman would end up in the same thing if they had made the same decisions that she made. And so that's where she landed. And all of her great intentions and all of her expectations meant nothing. And they're ready to stone her to death. And here's what Jesus does. Jesus says to the rest of the gang, y'all listen, this is so important, because somebody here today right now is feeling like, thanks a lot. Thanks for making me feel all cruddy about my life and decisions I've made. Now I'm in this place and I'm hopeless and all this kind of stuff. And listen to what happens. Jesus looks at all the others gathered there who are ready to stone her, and he says, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. And here's the reality, starting with the oldest, because those of us who are older realize that we've done it. They began to drop their stones and walk away, because every one of us have made decisions and gone down paths that took us where we never expected to go and never wanted to be. And so everybody began to drop their stones, and he looks at her and says, where is everybody who condemns you? Is there anybody to condemn you? And she said, no one, sir. He said, then neither do I condemn you, Jesus. Jesus said, now, go now and leave your life of sin. So he's saying, you got a direction to change, baby. You don't just need to be forgiven and fix this problem. You need to change your direction. Now go and leave your life of sin. You know what the beautiful news is? Is there still a path for that woman to a beautiful place. Now when Julie and I turned around, we still had some backtracking to do that took us right back by that stinky place we had been. We had to backtrack through the smell and the stench and all that kind of stuff and get past it and get back down to where we could actually get onto the path toward what God wanted for us. And it's the same way for this girl. She's got to go back and deal with some stuff, right? She's got to work on her marriage, or maybe her marriage is beyond repair and she might have to work on some other things. But she's got some redoing to do, but she's now headed on a different path. And I just want to tell you this beautiful thing. It is never too late for you to go in the right direction. I don't care how old you are, how bad you've blown it, and whatever area you're thinking about right now, do it for you. Whatever it is you're thinking about right now, it is never too late for you to choose the right direction. Yes, there have been things lost. Yes, there are some things that can't be repaired. Yes, there are things that can't be undone. And yes, you can look back and say, I wish I'd done this 20 years ago, but it is never too late to make the right decision. And he's saying, do it now. And it's going to lead you to some really beautiful places, and there's going to be some challenges. It's a hike, right? It's a hike to the beautiful places that God's called you to be. So over the next several weeks, you're going to love it, because we're going to talk about, how did I get here? Why do we make these kind of decisions? How do I stay on the path? How do I get to that place that God's called me to be? How do I even know which way is the right way? We're going to talk about all that stuff. It's going to be so beautiful. But let me tell you what happened to this girl in that moment, because this is what matters to you right now. There was a lot ahead of her, a lot. But here's what happened in that moment that can happen in this moment for you. Two things. One is, Jesus forgave her. It was gone. You don't have to wallow in regret and self-condemnation and shame and pain. You don't have to feel that sense of hopelessness that now I've blown it and there is no hope for me. You don't have to feel any of that because you are forgiven. So she left forgiven. It's gone. That's awesome. But the second thing about that that's so important is she didn't just leave forgiven. She left on a totally different path. She was headed in a totally new direction. And y'all, that's new life. That's new life. And it's amazing when people make decisions financially to start in a new direction financially, they're at the exact same place they were 10 minutes ago, but the fact that they have gotten into a new direction relieves all the pressure, and they're going like, God, I'm headed toward financial freedom. I'm headed toward peace. For people who have marriages that are a wreck and a mess and hatred and bitterness, and when they make that decision that I'm going to get on a different path and head in it, all of a sudden there's this sense of anticipation and hope and joy and peace that comes into the heart. There's hope here. I remember when I was in high school and I had failed two classes, and y'all, I didn't get to graduate because I had to go back and take classes that I had failed in my junior year, and my academic life was an absolute disaster. I had to go to Coastal Carolina University and beg them to take me in, and y'all, they would take anybody with a pulse in those days. And I had to start from scratch. But you know what was beautiful? It's when I went there and I was put into a remedial reading class and on probation to be able to go in and take some summer classes to see if I could do college work. As I went there, there was hope and there was peace and there was joy, because not only had I been forgiven for the way I had neglected my studies for all those years, but God had put me on a different path. And that path ultimately led to a doctoral degree. That path led to joy and peace and all kinds of cool things. It led to graduating with honors. It led to all kinds of cool things. But here's what I'm saying to y'all. Please. It's God saying to you right now, every one of us in this room, He's saying, I want you to leave here forgiven and on a different path. Who's ready to change a path? It might be in one area of your life. It might be physically. It might just be in relationship to your devotional life with God. It might be your whole life. It might be relationally. It might be financially. But if you know that there's a path change that needs to happen today, how about if you left here forgiven and on a different path? How many people right now could honestly say, I could use being forgiven and being on a different path leaving here? Anybody? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite you, anybody here, as we go into this closing time of worship, I'm going to invite you to come and use this altar as a place to come down and kneel before Him and just say, God, I like that woman caught in adultery. I want to get up from this place knowing that I am forgiven. And I'm walking back up that aisle knowing I'm headed on a different path. We invite you to stand and we invite you to come. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? He said, then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Well, before that, he said this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So see, here's the thing. It's not just your desire to be in heaven. It's not just your good intentions or your expectation. It's your direction. And so Jesus constantly said, follow me. In fact, he said, if anyone would be my disciple or would come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. So he's saying, look, you're going to end up with me if you follow the path that I lead you on. That is what matters. And so are you a Christian, that you believe that Jesus exists? I'm asking, are you a follower? Are you following His path? Are you saying, God, now we dealt with a lot of stuff today. We dealt with a lot of stuff, relationships, finances, all kinds of stuff, but I'm talking about your life. Because God wants you to leave here, if you've never done it before, forgiven for all the wrong paths, all the wrong mistakes, all the pursuit of me and mine and where I want to go and the I stuff that Steve talked about. But leaving here forgiven for all that, but on a different path. Repentance means to change a direction. And so for somebody today, this This is the day in which you're making the decision, I want to leave here on a different path. Now remember, there's still a lot of stuff to do. There's still a lot to learn. There's still a lot to go. And there's some tough stuff to walk through. It's a hike. It's a journey. But the beautiful thing about that woman caught in adultery is that day she left knowing, I belong to God, man. I am forgiven and I am His and I'm headed to be everything He's called me to be. And that's what you need today. That's what you need today. You don't need to leave here without making the decision that I want to ask Him to please forgive me for all my sins and all my wrong paths. And I want to leave here today knowing that I today chose to get on the path to follow Him forever. I'm His. I'm His. And so if that's you, I want you to say to Him right now, God, I mean, I've kind of made all kinds of wrong steps and led to places I never wanted to be, but my life right now, I just know this. I have taken a path that was my own or what other people thought or the one that most people took, but I have not been on the path following You, truly following You. And so this day I ask You to forgive me for every wrong decision, for every misstep, for all the places, the stinking places my life has gone. And as bad as it stinks, I thank You that You come to forgive me and You come to wash me and cleanse me and love me. Can you say that to Him right now? Can you say, I'm going to follow You. I leave here in a new direction. I'm like a baby. I'm learning how to walk. I'm just getting started. I'm a chain smoker in flip-flops. I'm just barely getting rolling. But I'm just saying to You, lead me. And one day I'll run this race with You. I'll follow You wherever You call me to go. My life is Yours today. My life is Yours today. I'm following You in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that was you, it's the most important decision you ever make in your life. I made it over 30 years ago, and it was part of what transformed my educational life. It was part of what transformed my relational life. It was part of what made all the other decisions fall in line. But that decision is the most important one you will ever make. And so if you made it today, we want to celebrate it with you. We do it every week. And all we do is invite you to just lift your hand and say, yep, to me. Today's the day that I turned and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to be forgiven. I want to follow Him the rest of my life. And this is the day I'll remember that from this day forward, I'm following. Hard as it may be, I'm with Him forever. If that's you, we want you to raise your hand. We want to celebrate that with you. And the only other thing I ask of you is before you leave. What? Somebody's already lifted right there. Oh, man. And then, after that, the one other thing I'm going to ask of you and any others who lift your hands is that before you leave here, you go over to the prayer booth and just let folks pray for you and encourage you, okay? So, anybody else over here besides our brother that lifted his hand that says, this is my day, you just lift your hand and say, I'm His, I'm all in. Who else over here? Just lift it up, unashamedly, boldly. All right, how about up in the balcony? Anybody up there? This is my day. Throw it up. All right, how about up there? Somebody up there? This is my day. All right, how about over here? Anybody in the center up top? Don't fail to lift that hand, man. If you did it today, you get it up. Where's that, y'all? Oh, right up here? Thank you. Thank you. How about down here in the center? Anybody here? This is me. This is my day. Right there. You go, girl. Anybody else? Anybody else up in the balconies? How about over here? Anybody over here that you made that decision today? Now, right there. You go, man. Anybody else? Anybody else down over in here? Anybody else? All right, cool. I saw a woman waving to her friend and she just about got saved. Here's what we're going to do. We got some new brothers and sisters in this place. Can we give God a hand for these guys? If you're near somebody who lifted their hand, let them know that you will walk with them to that prayer booth. And y'all go ahead and head over there. For the rest of us on the way out, if you're a guest here, you'll see our folks. We believe that out of every 10 bucks God gives us, we keep 9 and we give Him 1. He changes the world with the 1 and He blesses the 9. But listen, if you're a guest, We didn't bring you here to get money from you, so don't feel that you have any obligation to give as you leave. Just know that we wanted you to receive from God today, and we hope that you did. Now, for everybody else here, if you're ready to just say, God, I'm all in, man. I'm all in. I'm yours. I'm following your path. Oh, may God, by His Holy Spirit, lead you in paths of righteousness in every area of your life for His name's sake, to take you where you always wanted to be, where you were created to be, in Jesus.